This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now for our next story, we're looking at what's going on over in Kashmir. Well, there is a lot to unwrap regarding the crisis there. We want to focus on the internet and telecommunications blackout imposed on the region and how it impacts the people there. We will be doing a special a show later on the geopolitics surrounding the issue at the moment, but we'll leave that to another time.
Yeah, so regarding Kashmir, about 2 weeks ago, the Indian government revoked their special status of Kashmir, and the interior minister cited security reasons due to cross-border terrorism. So in addition to deploying the military and arresting politicians, access to the internet and telecommunications has also been cut off. And this has really affected the daily lives of people in Kashmir. So for example, you've got like essential supplies of things like baby food and insulin, which are running out because shops can't order these things anymore. And even banks and ATMs are closed because they rely on the internet. So there is limited cash there as well.
But this is not the first time that India has acted in this way with internet shutdowns. They have recorded 154 internet shutdowns between January 2016 and May 2018. So that it's the most of any country in the world.
How scary, right? Because the justifications that countries all over the world have used to just shut down the internet like that have been varied. You know, most of the time they are trying to control the political narrative. But the reasons they give out, for example, Ethiopia and Algeria, and also India included, they had shut down the internet at times in apparent ways to curb cheating in national examinations. So it is a little bit crazy to me.
We don't want to belittle the situation. Just to reiterate, four wars have been fought between India and Pakistan, three of them over Kashmir. The situation is unfolding, and it could be quite scary in geopolitical terms. But it is frightening that a government can shut down the internet access, telecommunications access so easily. It's something we take so much for granted.
And I mean, in the case of India, under India's laws, even local authorities can just shut down internet access in the name of peace and tranquility, it says. And it just shows how much power is under the government to be able to just, you know, cut people off from the world, basically.
Yeah, and that is an important part of the conversation also, because if you want to stop stories from getting out into the world, there is no easier way other than to just cut off the internet, right? Which is and which has become essentially the fastest, the easiest, and the most visible way to get your stories out there, especially if there are cases of human rights abuses. So after this, we're going to continue this conversation with Swaran Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnership, who specializes in IT law, about this story. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:46, you're with Kelvin, Cam and Ayman on the Evening Edition, and we are talking about internet shutdowns in light of what's happening in Kashmir. So we're now going to cross over to Swaran Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnership. He specializes in IT law. Swaran, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Hi everyone. Hi guys. How are you?
Doing good. So how easy is it to pull the plug on a country's internet?
Well, actually, it depends on a couple of things. The fact is that the infrastructure of the country and the number of telecommunication providers will provide the answer that you're seeking. So in countries where the number of telco providers are limited to one or two, it becomes easier to pull the plug, because any direction given for the blackout of the internet is done by the government to telco providers. In countries where there are more telco providers and the internet saturation and the development is more mature, in those instances it becomes harder, because you can never sort of block out entirely, as you do need the cooperation of the telco providers in that sense. And you also have the political climate that changes from one country to the next. So in certain countries, there are a little stricter on what runs through the internet, and there are others which sort of advocate a sort of more liberal space in how that is monitored. So that would, of course, again, I said, it comes down to the level of maturity of the internet in the country and the number of providers as well.
So when we talk about internet shutdowns, I'm imagining that there is just zero or no way at all to access the internet. Is that the only form that internet shutdowns can take?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, all the internet, if you go down to the bare basics of it, right, there are only two ways to basically set in place the internet communication in a country. One would be the satellite cable, the cables underground, submarine cables that are underwater. Those would be the most basic form of the cables that connect the world to the country. That is one. The submarine cables become one way in which the country gets connected. The other would be the satellite connectivity. So these are the two ways in which a particular country is connected to the rest of the world, and that's how the internet is provided. It all goes back to the days of the telephony lines. All the telephone lines back then, when the whole world was connected by telephone landlines, those were also connected by way of submarine cabling. And these submarine cabling have been put in place for decades now. And from the phone lines, it's when you have the internet connectivity was riding and continues to ride on the submarine cables till today.
Does the government have the legal powers to, pull the plug on a country's internet?
You're talking about Malaysia or just, countries, the government around the world? If you're looking at in the Malaysian context, under the Communications and Multimedia Act, there's a very clear sort of guarantee of sorts in Section 3 that says there should not be any censorship of the internet. And this was back in the days when the Multimedia Super Corridor was launched by our Prime Minister back then, Mahathir, who is also the Prime Minister now, back again. And he gave those guarantees to the world at large to say there will not be any such censorship, to draw in the worldwide interest and the investors into Malaysia for the growth of the multimedia super corridor. So that being the case, there should not be any blockade of the internet. In any event, the whole idea behind the regulatory structure that moved from the past statutes to the CMA, the Multimedia Act, was to bring about self-regulation of the telco providers and the infrastructure providers. So they're supposed to regulate, self-regulate, in the sense that if they feel something bad is going on, whatnot, they can, on their own, try to stop it. So in that sense, the government does not really have the power to direct them to shut it down. So to me, if you ask a question whether the government can do it, under the CMA, they cannot. But should they decide to use some other powers under the Penal Code or, under some other security-based legislation, and say that we have to shut it down because it's affecting the security of the country, outside forces are invading, there's internal conflict, etc. If they were to use those powers and direct telco providers to do so, otherwise, if you're pointing a gun at them, then I suppose they have no choice but to do so. But legally speaking, I would say it would not be an easy thing for them to prove that there's a reason for them to shut down the internet for the whole country.
Can you think, is it possible for forces outside the country to tamper with the country's internet connection or cut it in completely?
Yeah, I mean, there are ways. I mean, the simplest way would be to go and damage the undersea fiber optic cables. Would not be easy, of course, but that would be a very, very the quickest way and the easiest way to do so, provided you've got the relevant, the tenacity to go down there and do it. That's a clear-cut, physical blockade you can see right there. However, the more common ways which this tends to happen in some parts of the world would be to have a simultaneous DDoS attacks, distributed denial of service attacks, where you have DDoS attacks simultaneously at all the internet service providers of the country, where there are just all the providers are overwhelmed by the DDoS attacks, and as a result, it cuts down the access or the ability to connect from outside in, and that is one way in which this is used quite effectively by foreign nations at times.
And how well protected is our internet here in Malaysia?
Well, I would say we are we're not in the backward stage. We're not totally also in the completely mature and highly developed status. We're somewhere in the middle. I think, are we ready? If we have a full-on onslaught of the DDoS attacks, I would think some part of our internet would be crippled or affected. But from what I know of the infrastructure in the country, we should be able to withstand an attack, I would believe, yeah.
So in the event of an internet breakdown, for example, let's the one that is currently happening in Kashmir. So what can the people there do? Like, are there more rudimentary forms of communication? Because it's really affecting their daily lives and the banking system and just daily communications with friends and family in and outside Kashmir.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, reading about what's going on in Kashmir and the internet blockade, what it's done, it's a very scary scenario, you know, the entire telco blackout. I mean, some of the rudimentary methods would be as what's being used. I mean, interestingly enough, if you look at what's been going on in Hong Kong, where there was a limited form of internet blackout. In the areas of the hotspots where the riots were taking place, many of the rioters were then using offline communication apps. And these are apps which are connecting, it's a short-range app using the Bluetooth connectivity from phone to phone. So in areas where there's a high saturation of people and the apps are being used, people are able to communicate with each other. It's a bit like your local area network kind of system where you don't need an outside sort of connectivity internally. By having more users, that increases the connectivity, like a peer-to-peer kind of connectivity. And these apps have become very popular. So you've got things like FireChat, BridgeFi, Hike, offline messenger. So all these things, this is one, I would say, the easiest way for people to communicate using their smartphones, which have become like a hunk of steel right now. Mm-hmm. Others would be your shortwave radios, the traditional walkie-talkies, even in, you know, in one of those apocalyptic kind of movies you see, you've got this Morse code that's being used to communicate via the radio channels. So this would be some of the most basic ways to still reach out within a community.
Mm. Well, looking at it though from the angle of the government, governments rather.
Yeah.
Are there internets that they can create to give us people the illusion of internet whilst maintaining control? I'm thinking of China's Great Firewall, and also I believe that Russia is trying to create an internet just for itself.
Yeah, they can. There's always, I mean, it's been done to create a sort of a separate bubble space for people to think they're not being watched or monitored and giving the impression that you're connected to the outside world. But in actual fact, every single thing that you do is being observed and monitored all along the way. So it can, of course, be done. But of course, for something like that, you would need the cooperation and the full-on sort of loyalty from the telco providers to also be on board with, I suppose, I could call it deceit of that magnitude that you intend to impose onto the people.
Soren, thank you so much for those insights.
Oh, most welcome. Thank you very much.
That was Soren Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnership, talking about how governments, including Malaysia, if they were to shut down, the repercussions of that, and also how they usually get around that. We also have been receiving some messages about this, particularly about the... about how, let's see, hold on, I'm getting my thoughts mixed up a bit. We do have this message here from Robert, who says that when you shut down the internet, you are to generic internet comprises of services like the email, HTTP, the MSC Bill of Rights guarantees access. And that was also to Soren's point earlier about how we do have that... that legislation that does protect us in case we do face a sort of shutdown of the internet.
So it's a good point also, because it's a form of collective punishment.
Yeah.
It's so everybody has their internet shut down at the same time. And Ayman, you were telling me earlier how in the specific case of India, the tea industry.
Yeah, yeah. So this was a few years ago. They shut down the internet in Kashmir for like 100 days, and it affected the Darjeeling tea industry. And that led to another. The workers went on strike, and they couldn't produce the tea. They lost their clients, lost 30% of their revenue, and the clients that they lost never came back. So it just shows that even when you cut off, when you cut off the internet, it affects the economy and businesses.
And we also were previously talking about flood management in our cities, and we have been receiving some messages about that. We do have this from, let's see, we do have this from KH that says, the idea of smart buildings and temporary water storage are brilliant. We also have many mines and swamps where we can flow the excessive water to. No doubt we need to do that immediately, but only to focus on the city flood is ridiculous. We need to do the same thing in areas that flood at rural areas. Needs-based policies, not city-based policies.
Yes, if everything should be done at the same time, of course. It shouldn't be an either-or.
And we also do have this one from, let's see, who do we have this from? We have this from Freddie that says, it's mainly because it's a man-made flooding. Our local authorities are sealing so much ground surface, so rainwater gets forced into the drains. The lush trees are chopped and replaced by twigs. Most developers are not serious about preventing siltation of soil and mud into the drainage, hence reducing the volume of water that drains can discharge. No strict policing by the authorities of this situation. And the next point is that urban highways are now designed as giant solid culverts with minimal drain pipes, which naturally becomes flooded. And that is, again, the question of architecture.
All excellent points. That should be written up as a police report and put in developers' IQs.
If you have any more thoughts about internet shutdowns, about flood management, or even about the end of postal wars, you can send it to us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio and call 7733-2900. We're heading to the 7 p.m. news. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.